Law and Gospel, the Reformation Solas, the Theology of the Cross, the Means of Grace, Simultaneously Saint and Sinner. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. It's written by regular guest Dr. Al Schmidt. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity is published by Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040 or read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation continues. We're talking about Luther's treatment of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. Now, we spent last time talking with Dr. Ken Cherb about one verse, verse 15, where Jesus warns against false teachers as, what, ravenous wolves that come in sheep clothing, but how are we to recognize them? Obviously, by their false teaching. Is there anything else? We're going to answer that question with Dr. Ken Cherb. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri, has a PhD in history from Ohio State University, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, welcome back.
Hello there, Todd. How are you?
Very well. Here's the text, and we're really picking up from last week because we just did one verse, verse 15 of chapter 7. Here is 16 through 20. You will recognize them, that is, false teachers, by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So, every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. So how does the rest of the paragraph that we've just read here explain what we were talking about last week about false teachers?
Well, of course, last week, as you pointed out, Luther was commenting on verse 15 where Jesus said, beware of false prophets. But how do you beware of them? How can you have your guard up for them if you can't quite tell who they are? And really, the rest of the paragraph, verses 16 through 20, which you just read from Matthew 7, tell us how we recognize them. And Jesus puts it most succinctly at the very end of the paragraph. He says, you will recognize these false teachers, these false prophets, by their fruits. And so Luther points out in this connection that the most important thing is to understand what Jesus calls a good or bad tree and good or bad fruit. Now, obviously, Jesus is not just talking about fruit like apples and oranges. He's using a figurative expression here. And just like we need to see what Jesus is saying in a kind of a spiritual way, we also need to understand that the false teachers are going awry in a spiritual way. We need an awareness of the biblical gospel to defend against that kind of false teaching. Because, after all, as Luther is fond of pointing out, works righteousness really does seem quite reasonable. It does seem quite like the logical, natural, fallen off the horse, obvious kind of thing to us, and we need to see beyond that.
So, the sound tree with the sound fruit, if not appealing to reason, to what does it appeal, according to Luther?
Well, the Word of God. Luther says that sound tree bearing good fruit is really one who conducts his life and existence and behavior according to the Word of God. You forget reason in the process. Reason thinks that impressive works in the eyes of human beings must therefore also be impressive to God. But Luther says, no, you must know and have a sure basis and testimony from the Word of God telling you that this is pleasing to him.
Now, other Lutheran theologians have tended to emphasize, sometimes to the exclusion of all other things, the false prophet's teaching. Luther doesn't do that, does he?
No, Luther actually takes the teaching and the works of the false prophet together, and you might even say he emphasizes the works of the false prophet. And there's a reason for that. As he puts it, no false teaching or heresy has ever arisen without bringing along the distinguishing mark that Jesus points to here, that it has set forth works different from the ones which God has commanded and ordained. This is a point, of course, which Luther has been pounding on throughout this series on the Sermon on the Mount, and he comes back to it again here. A little later in this exposition of these verses, Luther adds that down through the years, this has been the case. And in his own day, he has in mind not only the monks, but also the Anabaptists. The monks would forbid certain foods. They would forbid marriage, if you're going to be a monk. The Anabaptists would condemn civil government and holding political office and serving in the army and things like that. In both cases, they're making up their own good works. So Luther says their false teaching leads them to want to behave in ways that are not true to the Word of God.
That's the disease tree with the bad fruit. What does he have to say about knowing what good fruit is?
Well, again, Luther says that everything depends on knowing and maintaining that definition of what Christ calls good works, good fruits. Namely, a good work is one that is required or commanded by the Word of God and proceeds on the basis of that commandment. Good works, we've said this before, Todd, are what God says they are, not what we say they are or what we would like them to be if we had our druthers. And again, Luther says, good should not be judged and evaluated on the basis of our suppositions, but on the basis of what God says and pronounces to be good. And I think I've made this point to you too, Todd. There are people these days who say that Luther did not teach a third use of the law, you know, the law to guide Christians who are redeemed in Christ and believe in him as their Savior as they seek to live their lives. But I think that's balderdash. Actually, Luther did teach the third use of the law, even though he didn't use that particular terminology for it. But the basis for showing Luther teaching it comes right back again and again to this very point over which we see Luther lingering right here. And that is that works are not good unless they're the works that God has commanded. And if God's commands no longer mean anything for the Christian, then the Christian has no good works to do.
He wants to warn us against kind of a superficial look at the teachings of the works of claimed teachers.
Jesus says these false prophets look like they have sheep's clothing on, but you got to look beyond the outward clothing. Inwardly, they're ravenous wolves. When we get down to this point in the passage, talking about the good tree and the bad tree, you know, Luther says, at first it may be that a tree that bears thorns, when it's really, really young, may look like a tree that's going to bear figs. But, of course, there is a difference, and that becomes evident as time goes by and you see what these trees actually bring forth. A bad tree does not give good fruit.
So what does he say about kind of the how easily confused we are about what is good fruit, what is bad fruit, what is a good tree and a bad tree?
Well, he is certainly trying to hammer this point home because it's exactly the point that Jesus is hammering home. You will recognize them by their fruits, and you will know the bad fruits when you compare them to the Word, just like you will know the bad teaching when you compare it to the Word. But then flip it over on the plus side. It seems like everything that Luther's been saying up to this point has been pretty negative, and of course he has been kind of expounding Christ saying something on the negative side. The false prophets are bad, watch out for them, beware of them. But on the plus side, Luther says nothing but good fruit can come from the station that God has created and ordained, and from the man who works and lives in this station on the basis of the Word of God. When you are in Christ, everything you do pleases God because it's all under the umbrella of his grace. Now, it may seem to you or me, Todd, like we've got a life of thorns and thistles, not fruit, especially when we run into troubles in our calling that cause us problems and make us disgusted. There are times when we feel like we're beating our head against the wall, and we say, oh, I should have listened to my mother. She wanted me to be a butcher, you know, instead of what it is that God has placed before me. And Luther knows what that's like. He says, if it had not been for the Word of God, I would have stopped preaching a long time ago and would have said farewell to the world the way the monks used to do. It is the devil doing this and making everyone's station hard for him. But, Luther says, just when the devil is making your station and your duties hard for you, take comfort. Take heart. Christ is telling you a good tree bears good fruit. Now, reason, including your own reason, may not see much good coming out of your work in your station in life. And you certainly may not be deriving much pleasure from some unpleasant duties or tasks that you have to attend to. But, nonetheless, Luther says, you can be joyful and you can endure. In fact, he says, Christ puts it this strongly, a good tree cannot bear evil fruit. Now, Luther anticipates what somebody's going to say, maybe what you were about to say. Does that mean that a Christian can't go off the rails, as it were, and fall into, well, like he says elsewhere, misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice? Well, yes, Christians can. Of course they can. But to the extent that they do, they're no longer sound trees. So the whole point is here, maintain yourself as a sound tree by being in the Word of God. And then, with forgiveness for your sin, your life will be pleasing to God. Luther's very emphatic about this. All the works of a Christian are of a good kind because the tree is sound. God accepts our works because he accepts us, and he accepts us for one and only one reason, and that is the blood of Christ and his righteousness which covers us.
Dr. Ken Sherb is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri. He has a PhD in history from Ohio State University, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, thanks.
Okay, catch you next time, Todd.
Did you know that you can pursue advanced theological study of Reformation theology for academic, professional, or personal development? Concordia University Irvine has a Master of Arts in Theology program. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus summer sessions. You can find out more at cui.edu/theology. The Master of Arts in Theology program at Concordia University Irvine, cui.edu/theology. In Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Molly Hemingway of Fox News joins us. We're going to talk with her about the 15 felony charges filed against the producers of those undercover Planned Parenthood videos out of California. Well, that's the second bite at the apple that the legal system is taking against David DeLayden and his co-producer. Not the first time it's happened, and he's released another video today. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse will join us to talk about the fantasy ideologies of the lifestyle left as well. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
For 28 years, I had the privilege of serving as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
Dr. Dan Gard, retired Rear Admiral and President of Concordia University Chicago, on the need for military chaplains.
During that time, I was able to bring word and sacrament to so many young people and their families, our sons and daughters spread throughout the world. Truly a privilege and an honor, and today, there are other chaplains that must follow. We need more LCMS chaplains in all branches of the military. It's an incredible, amazing mission opportunities to go to places no other pastor can go, but to go with the same tools that any other pastor brings wherever he goes, word and sacrament.
You can find out more about the vocation of military chaplain at lcms.org/armed forces. The LCMS ministry to the armed forces, lcms.org/armed forces.
the third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.